Good morning, everybody. You're getting better. Okay. If you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10 today as we talk about freedom. Next week, we will pick up where we left off with our forgiveness series. But I just felt like going with this one this week. If I were to ask you what song comes to mind that has the word freedom in it, so let me go ahead and give me a song. I was not expecting that one because that's the first one I thought of when I challenged myself to this. Remember the Blues Brothers, Aretha Franklin, singing "Freedom" in that. Freedom has been compelling since you look back in the Bible, from the Old Testament all through the Bible. We find people of God being oppressed and abused by other people. We see it happen time and time again. And of course, we're talking about God's people in the Bible, but, you know, people have times where they desire the freedoms. Our nation, this past Friday, celebrated the freedoms that we have when some people got together 249 years ago and declared us free from England. Now, just declaring our freedom, of course, wasn't what brought us freedom. It was the Revolutionary War that followed, and when they fought for our freedom. So to get freedom sometimes can be tough. It can be challenging, to say the least. We desire freedom. We love to watch stories about freedom. One of my favorite stories is based on a true story is Braveheart. Let me put it this way. Has anybody not seen that movie? Okay, you need to see the movie, okay? Okay, and in that, at the end of it, he's crying out freedom and that. But there's one line in there that says, "They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom." But it's not just in movies or in songs or in good stories. Some of our most outstanding moments in history tell the story of how freedom is longed for. Probably the most famous quote in history for our country concerning freedom was the famous quote by Patrick Henry, "Give me liberty or give me death." Liberty, of course, meaning freedom. Paul McCartney wrote a song that describes the basic elements of life that is not lived under oppression when he wrote these words, "This is my right, a right given by God to live a free life, to live in freedom." While we enjoy political freedom, the kind of freedom that we're going to be addressing today goes a little bit beyond just the freedoms that we have politically or even physically. We're going to be, as I said, in Romans 8, where the author, Paul, is talking about freedom. And of course, the freedom that we have in Christ. Paul is talking about the spiritual side of life, which some people often say is a myth, or it's a mystery, that there really is no freedom in Christ, because they don't believe in Christ. Some people are spiritually slaves to their sinfulness. Some of them maybe want out, but maybe they don't know how to get out from the bondage of sin. One day, our bodies are going to fade. They're going to die. Our bodies will return, as the Bible says, back to dust. But no matter where we stand with Christ today, whether we stand with Him, united in Him, or whether we have turned our back on Him and have not accepted Him, our spirit will still have eternal life. Where we spend that eternal life depends on the decisions we make now. The way we get out of that bondage of freedom, of course, the bondage of sin is through the freedom in Christ. So if we choose Christ, we know that we have a life of blessings coming. But if we choose not to believe it, we still have life coming. But it's not a good life. The Bible is clear. The Bible is just lays it out there. I try to be a guy that just kind of lays it out there most of the time. Sometimes people don't like me for that. Okay, and that's fine. But the Bible is very clear. You either accept Christ or you accept hell. And I say it like that because God gives us the opportunity to come to Him. He opens the door for the door of opportunity. This is that one door that we have to make the decision whether we're going to step through it. Okay? I know we talked a little bit about the door that He's knocking at. We have to open up that door, but I'm talking about also He gives us the door of opportunity to accept Him. So although this past week, Friday, we celebrated our political freedom, our freedom that we have as a nation, we're going to be looking at the freedom that comes through Christ. The freedom that God, that is God's gift to us. So if you would, please stand with me as we're going to read here from Romans 8, verses 1 through 10. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. And by the way, I'm reading from the Christian Standard, just to let you know today. What the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. Now the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, again, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for the blessings. But most of all, we come today thanking You for our freedom. Not just the freedom that we have to be here today, which is huge. The freedom that we have in our nation for freedom of religion, the freedom to worship the way we feel You are calling us to. We thank You for that freedom. But beyond that, we thank You for the freedom that we're going to be talking today about. The freedom of spiritual blessings through You. The freedom to know that You have died for us. Going to the cross, dying for us, and rising again to be our living Lord, our living Savior. The promise that one day You are going to return. We thank You for the freedom from sin. We ask You now just to open our eyes, our ears, and especially our hearts to Your message for us today. We pray this together. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, before we begin, my first point I'm going to be talking about, it's already up there, is free from sin. And we're going to be talking about that in a moment. But this week, as I was working on the message for today, I have to admit that it seemed like all week, of course, this week was a unique week to begin with, no problem. But the more and more I tried to, okay, I want to go this certain way. And I felt God saying, no, we're not going to do that. Part of me would say, okay, well, I'll just skip the message. God made it very clear, no, we're not going to do that. Okay? So last night, after Lori went to bed, I actually changed what my sermon was going to be. Okay? If I got to go ahead and change it, this is going to be a drastic deal. I mean, I'm going to be up all night. To be honest, I wasn't. because I gave in to God. And he gave me the words to say. Now, how I come across, maybe I haven't practiced a whole lot, so just bear with me. But people who trapped animals in Africa for zoos here in America say that one of the hardest animals to catch is the ring-tailed monkey in Africa. Now, does anybody remember the movie with John Wayne, Hitari? Okay. Of course, they were talking about the rhino and everything. It was their biggest or was the most one that they had trouble with. But for the Zulu tribe in the continent of Africa, it's actually pretty simple for them to catch that monkey. What they've learned to do is take a melon that's still on the vine and cut a hole in it where the monkey can get his hand down into it. But see, the monkey loves the seeds. Now, of course, we don't really like the seeds of a melon. We like the melon, okay? But the monkey likes the seeds in that melon. So he'll reach in there, grab a handful of seeds. So the hole is just big enough where he can slip his hand in, but when his hand is holding the seeds, his hand is now can't get through the hole. And that monkey will not let go of those seeds. He will scream, he will holler, he will do whatever, but he will fight. They said he's fought, they've watched a monkey, not the, every monkey, but they've watched a monkey fight for hours, and he will not let go of those seeds. While he's fighting for it and everything, of course, the Zulus have learned to sneak up behind him slowly, quietly, and then they're able to catch him. And you know what? A lot of times that's exactly what sin is like. Sometimes we like to hold on to sin. So because it's we like to, I mean, let's be honest, I've said it before. If we didn't enjoy it, we probably wouldn't do it. But in order to find freedom, we have to let go and reach out. I say we have to let go of those seeds, we have to let go of that sin and reach out to Jesus. But so many times we don't want to, and sometimes, many times, we don't know how to. Even as Christians, sometimes we still battle when we still struggle. And that's when Satan comes at us. Especially when we choose not to let go of the sin. You say, well, he already came at me. Well, maybe he already tempted you with the sin. But when he knows he's got a sin that you really, really, if, I don't care if you want to call it addicted to it, but the one that you're really holding on to, then he's going to hit you and tempt you all the more with that sin. He's going to grab hold of you any way he can. But for some, that's not the issue. For some, the issue is a little bit different. For some, we don't do anything about our spiritual freedom because many people don't really care about it. They don't really think about it. I've talked with people who, before they became Christians, who told me that they had the attitude that, well, they didn't really believe in Jesus, so they didn't really care if anybody thought that what they were doing was sinful. Maybe it would have been wrong, but they didn't really believe that there was such a thing called sin, that everybody should have his own freedom to do things. Many people have tried to live out the years without knowing Christ. They've chosen to remain slaves, though in Christ they could have been free. In 1944, when the United States went into the Mariana Islands, okay, and they were there to rescue the civilians there, and the Japanese, of course, had the islands and everything up to that point. And the Japanese soldiers and that had told the civilians who lived on the island, told them and said, now, when the Americans come, because they knew they were coming, said, when they come, said, don't give in to them because they're going to take and they're going to beat you, they're going to rape you, they're going to do all these different horrible things to you. And the civilians believed it. Okay, even though that's kind of what was taking place on the Japanese, they were told that that's exactly what America was going to do to them, or what the U.S. soldiers were going to do to them. So instead of being rescued by the American soldiers, they went to call what is now known as the Death Cliffs, and they committed suicide. Thousands of civilians, to say nothing of the Japanese soldiers, but thousands of the civilians chose to jump off the cliffs instead of being rescued by the Americans because they had been told that the Americans are going to punish them, that the Americans were going to do horrible things to them. And isn't it that kind of what gets to us? They were fearful of what they thought was coming. And sometimes when we have sin in our life, sometimes we choose not to get it because of the fact we don't know what's going to happen if we give it up. Why do people choose slavery, being held in sin, over freedom and hope? And the first one, that's the first point. It's simple. Fear. It's fear. You know, the Israelites said when they were, you know, after they, we got to go to the next one there, we got fear. The next slide, please. Thank you. The Israelites, after they had been released out of Egypt, what did they often say? Man, if we were just back in Egypt. Now, they were slaves in Egypt, but so many times they would say, well, at least if we were back in Egypt, we wouldn't be out here in this wilderness. We wouldn't know what's, you know, at least if we were, and what they were actually saying is, if we were just back in Egypt, at least we would know what is coming tomorrow. You think about it, that's exactly what they said. Even though it's something that they didn't like, they were saying, at least we knew what tomorrow was going to be like. I got 3 squares a meal a day there or whatever. You know, at least they didn't have to worry about the future. Some people won't take their hand out of that melon because simply, or they won't let go of their sin simply because they don't know what's coming if they were to do it. They're just fearful. Addictions are like that. I've talked with people who have faced addictions in their life or have addictions in their life, and they say, I know what it's doing to me, but I can't stand to think of what my body would go through if I tried to get off the stuff. They knew that the stuff, that whatever they were on, was going to eventually kill them. A very good friend of mine from Princeton digs exactly what she told me. I know this stuff is going to kill me one day, but I can't bear the thought of what I'm going to go through if I try to get off of it. The fear of it. And some people will take their hands out of that stuff or let go of it because they're comfortable. They're comfortable. As I said, we talked about a minute ago, when we give our life to God, we wonder about the future. You know, sometimes when we're walking a life that's comfortable, and all of a sudden we're told, okay, if I come to God, if I come to Christ, if I put my life in Him, if I come to Him and ask for His salvation, what's going to happen next? Is He going to require me to do something? How's my life going to change? And sometimes when we don't know how things are going to change, okay, we say, at least here I'm comfortable. At least I like doing what this is. The great news is that Jesus is the one who leads us through those times of despair. He is the one that helps us climb those mountains. He's the one that takes us through those deserts. He's the one that took the Israelites to the promised land that we've been talking about on Sundays in Sunday school and that. And for us, when we come to Him, He brings us to a church family. Most times, if we choose to allow Him to take us to a church family, where friendships and community that encourage one another. For many people, they've never had that. They've never experienced that. And when they come to Christ and they learn what it means to be a Christian and how God blesses them in so many different ways, but especially with church family, You know, we've all heard the story about the man who was afraid to fly, so he didn't. And so many people are just simply afraid to come to Christ because they don't understand it. So they don't. But God, what God wants to know from you is, when will you trust Him in your future? And maybe you've already accepted Christ for Him. I think most of us have made that statement, if not all of us, that we've already accepted Christ. So we've taken that first step of letting Him guide us in our future. But what are we doing continually for Him to guide us and take control? You see, we have to also understand that we are free from law. Free from law. We are not just set free from sin, we are also set free from the law. Now, that doesn't mean we ignore it. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. So please don't say, well, Pastor Brian says we can just ignore what the Bible says. That's not what I'm saying. But look how the Bible law is described there in verses 3 and 4 of our scripture. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the spirit nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of a sinful man to be a sin offering. I just want to explain something. He's not saying Jesus was a sinful man. He's saying the likeness. In other words, the likeness of a human. And so He condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Paul calls the law powerless and weak. The law stood in the way of a relationship with us, between us and Jesus. That's not the way it was intended, but that's what had been taking place. And what happened is that in all of history, not one person could keep the entire law. Now, we know that the law didn't come in creation. We know that the law came after the Hebrews got released out of Egypt. But there was still always that moral law. I mean, we see that in Adam and Eve, okay? God told them not to do something. They did what? They did it. Okay? We see a brother murdering another brother. So there's always been that law of things not to do. But in our humanness, and I'm talking about in humans in general, we took that law, and because we cannot hold it complete, you know, we can't obey it complete, we tried to turn it into stuff, into things. The relationships, that's where the relationships start with Jesus, though, is when we come to Him. Like I said, I'm not saying that we just walk away from the law. There's parts of the law like don't steal, don't lie, obey mom and dad, things like that. Put God first, honor the Sabbath, you know, those things in it that we are to keep. And talking about the law, we also have to understand that in the law, there was three different sections. There was the moral law, like don't lie, don't kill, putting God first. There's also the ceremonial and the civil law that was especially just for the Jewish people, the way they ran their country. But we cannot be saved through the law, because we cannot keep the law. Has anybody here, I'm going to name a couple sins, and tell me if you've never done them. Just simply raise your hands. You've never lied. Nuts. Okay. You've never murdered. Okay. Let me put it this way, because I know what some of you are thinking where I'm going with this. You've never actually physically murdered somebody. Okay, all right. But when you lied, you still broke the law. Okay, you still, it's like, okay, when you're doing 55 in a 45, okay, you still broke the law. And that's why God said breaking the law of God was like, okay, you broke one, you still broke the law. Because of that, you now have this separation between us and God. When we break it. The early church went through of dealing with this issue of what to do about the law. Remember, there was the big argument, one of the biggest arguments in church history was right at the beginning. Circumcised or not circumcised? Some people are saying you can't be saved if you're not circumcised. Others are saying you don't need to be certain. There's this whole big discussion. Okay, so, and they went through a whole lot in the early church with this, with that struggle. The issue for a lot of churches today as well is, if Jesus fulfilled the law, how can we, how are we called to live it? How are we called to live? If Jesus completed the law like he claimed, remember when he said, "I am the law"? What do we do with the first two-thirds of the Bible? Do we just ignore it? The answer to these questions is simply, look for Jesus. Look for Jesus. The Old Testament is designed to show us God's whole plan for humanity, to cherish the history that we can read and that we can learn from. When you look at the Old Testament, okay, we see God's original plan, okay, that his plan for humanity. We learn from the lessons of great heroes of faith, like Adam. Adam was a hero? Yeah, he still was, you know, he started it all. Abraham, David. And in every single book, if we took the time to look, we will find Christ. In every single book, we will find either the reference in Christ or Christ there. A very popular songwriter talks about how Jesus can be found in every book in the Bible. We just have to take and learn how to look at and find him in the Old Testament. Verses 3 and 4 of our text say, the law was powerless, but now we have an opportunity to live according to the Spirit. So what does that mean? What does it mean to live according to the Spirit? It basically means this. Look for Jesus. Look for Jesus. I know there could be a whole study of what it means that we can go into in depth, but we don't have time today. But simply it means, to live by the Spirit just simply means, look for Jesus. Look for Jesus in the Bible. Look for Jesus in our life, the way we're living. And in effect, that's what Jesus wants us to do. He made the rigid law of Exodus, the functional, as a standard for our relationships. Don't lie to each other. Don't treat each other wrong. Okay? That's what the law, that's when we look at it, that's what he's trying to tell us. You know, if we truly did everything that the law told us to do, and how we wouldn't have near the arguments that we have with one another. We wouldn't have the fights and the disagreements that we have. I'm not saying we wouldn't have any, okay? But things would be different the way the world treats each other. He said, the law says don't commit adultery. That's the law, but if you live by the Spirit, it's about the relationship that you have with God. So as part of honoring your relationship with God, don't even look or lust after somebody else. You see, every single part of the law is not just the fact that don't physically do it, but it's about how we spiritually uphold it as well in our thoughts, in our hearts. And the only way we can truly do that is when we have that relationship with Christ. Jesus said the law says don't murder. Well, when was the last time you said or thought to yourself you hated somebody? So it goes way beyond the fact of what we do physically, but also how we feel spiritually. If we're walking with Christ, our attitudes towards one another will improve. I'm not saying they'll be perfect, because we're still on this side of eternity. We're coming to that point. We have been set free from the law, but that doesn't mean we just ignore it. We are held to a higher point, though, in my opinion, of accountability, because of our relationship with Christ. It's not just about what we do physically, but it's about, because of that relationship with Christ, how we as Christians are held more accountable, especially for our thoughts. And then we have free from death. Free from death. A person once said this, "I don't want to achieve immortality through my work. I want to achieve immortality by not dying." Woody Allen said that. The reality is that we will all one day pass from this life into the next, as I started off with. It's a topic that we don't like to talk about. Okay? All of our friends, all of our family members, ourselves will one day, if Christ doesn't return first, and as believers we are called up to heaven with him, we will all face our own death. But the truth is, the committed follower of Jesus Christ knows where he stands with Jesus, knows what's coming. For the person who knows Christ as Savior, knows where he stands with Christ, knows what they have coming. And it's not a grave. And it's not eternal hell. We know, because of the promises that we have in and through Christ, that one day we are going to spend eternity with him. We know that one day Christ is going to return for those who have accepted Christ as Savior. We know, Paul calls it a hope, not just that we wish for something, but we have that hope, that promise of knowing that one day, even if we die before Christ returns, we are going to still get new bodies. They will be perfect. They will never go back to being imperfect. Not because of anything we have done, but because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. And our faith in him and what he has done gives us that promise. It gives us that promise. Jesus sets us free from everything in our lives that keeps us from God. And the first place we should look to be free from death is in Jesus. Every single sin that we have committed, every single thing that we've done, has been taken away from us when we put our faith in Christ. We have been forgiven of those things. He sets us free from all those things in our life that keep us away from God. But there's a lot of people who are still imprisoned, who are still fearful of death. Now, I'll be the first to admit, there are some different ways that I don't want to die. Okay? I've talked with people, you know, that hypothetical question, well, what's the worry that you really don't want to die? Okay, I'll be the first to admit, I don't want to drown. Okay? And I've already been caught in a fire, and I don't want to go that way either. Okay? But, at the same time, I look at it this way. Even if it were to happen like that, that is still going to be quick compared to what eternity we're going to have with Christ after we're gone. Okay, we had those certain ways that, okay, I don't want this, don't want that. But the point is, no matter what we go through in experiencing death or that leads to our death, the thing is, there's so much more to gain in Christ. Paul said this, and you can probably say it with me. To be with Christ, say it a little bit louder for me. Life is in Christ, okay? No matter what, in other words, we gain Christ because of what he's done for us. Now, we have to understand. We have to make the decision. I get that. But making the decision to come to Christ is just simply saying, okay, I believe in what Christ has done for us on the cross. He's done the work to get me to heaven. I just simply got to believe it. There's a gentleman that I watch quite a bit online, on Facebook and that. And I forgot to write his name down. I knew I was going to talk about this real quick, but anyway. And he makes the comment, he says, I don't care if you're Baptist, I don't care if you're Methodist, I don't care if you're independent or whatever. He said, I don't care if you're Orthodox or if you're Catholic. I don't care if you're baptized or not baptized. He said, the question is, where do you stand with Christ? You know, there's a lot of things that, and I believe in baptism and everything, but we put too much emphasis on the things that should take place maybe after we come to salvation. But the point is that without the salvation to begin with, it doesn't matter what we've done. Mark Lowry once said, I don't care if you got sprinkled, dunked, or held underwater for 5 minutes. If you don't have Christ, all you did was get wet. And that's true. Even if we're baptized as babies, or even if we were baptized after as adults, or the believer's baptism, whatever you want to call it, if we've never truly accepted Christ, all we did is get wet. And if we're showing up here to church on Sunday, have not truly accepted Christ for our salvation, all we're doing is just making a show. That's all we're doing. So the question has to be, what promises do I have? And this is, I'm talking about what we have to ask ourselves. What promise do I have? Do I truly have the freedom that the Bible talks about in Christ? Have my sins been forgiven because of my faith in Christ? Have I put my faith in Him to receive those promises? If we've truly come to Christ and accepted His salvation, we have a lot of things promised to us. The fact that He'll walk with us here, give us church family to rely on, different things like that, but especially the fact on where we will spend the life that every single person will go through. The life after our death here. As I started off, every single person has a life yet coming. What we do or don't do with Christ will determine what that life is like. We know that Christ is going to come back. We know that He died for us, He lived for us, and that one day He is returning. Just think about it and ask yourself this question. Have I truly received that promise, or am I just going through a show? Have I truly put my faith in Christ and know for a fact that I have these promises coming to me of life eternal in Christ? And if you don't, I strongly ask you to come forward and receive Him today and receive those promises.